Happy Sabbath. Welcome back. Happy Father's Day weekend. I'd like to start with just a really small, quick joke. Father's Day related. The other day, my son came up to me and asked me if he could have a bookmark. I burst into tears, asking, "Jan, after 20 years, why doesn't he know my name is Mike?" Bookmark, book Mike. Okay. Happy Father's Day. On the note of different names, though, I like a good mystery. Interesting riddles. So riddle me this. Who in the Bible is the man with seven names? Riddle me this. We'll quickly discover who this man of mystery is, and then share three different Father's Day lessons from different chapters in his life. So let's begin in Judges chapter 4 and verse 11 to discover the man with seven names. Judges chapter 4 and verse 11 starts off and says, "Now Heber, the Kenite, of the children of Hobab." Those aren't everyday words for any of us today. It's not Smith and Jones. "The children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses." Who is the father-in-law of Moses? I thought his name was Jethro. It is. We'll get to that. So Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites. So that's the first part. It's like, here it says, Heber the Kenite is the child of Hobab, who's the father-in-law of Moses. Well, let's continue on with this saga. Just a couple of pages back, Judges chapter 1 and verse 16. Who is Moses' father-in-law? In verse 16, it says, "Now the children of the Kenite." Moses' father-in-law. That's another name. Now let's have it get more confusing, and then let's clear it up a little bit with Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. So Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. Says, "Now Moses said to Hobab," there's that Hobab name again, "the son of Reuel." That's a new name. "The Midianite." Oh yeah, you know, he's that Midianite that's Moses' father-in-law. Well, wait a second. Who is Moses' father-in-law? According to Wikipedia, Moses' father-in-law has seven different names. Those names could be Hobab, Reuel or Reguel, Josephus calls him Reguel, Jethro, Jether, Heber, Kenai, and this will come up a little bit later with the Kenites. The Kenites were people that lived in Midian, so he could be called a Kenite or a Midianite, and both would be accurate. And then also Putiel. And that doesn't even come up in the Bible, but rabbinic tradition, Putiel is another name, and that's also on Wikipedia. So who knows? If you don't like any of those names, he could also be called Moses' father-in-law and Gershom's grandpa. So this is a man with many names. So now let's go to the three different chapters in this man's life with some lessons to learn and share from that. So chapter 1, we'll go to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 15. So Exodus chapter 2 and verse 15. And the point I'd like to emphasize from chapter number 1 in this man's life is to share abundantly. As we turn here, I'll also share, I'm not exactly sure about Hobab and Heber, but I came up with a theory. So just take this as a wild guess. Hobab could be a family name. Jethro, I know, is a title. And Jethro is a title that means abundance. Maybe Reguel is his first name. So just like we have the song leader, Mr. Troy Phelps, title, first name, last name, it could be Jethro, Reguel, Hobab. I don't know. Something to think about. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 15 is where we'll get started. So this is catching up into the story where Moses has just left Egypt. He now comes into the well by Midian. So it says in verse 16, "The priest of Midian," this is the same Jethro, Reuel, Hobab, "had seven daughters, and he came and drew water, and he filled the troughs to water their father's flock. We know the story. Anybody that's seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, that's a famous scene. I had to rewatch those 3 minutes so I'd be crisp on a story. But the idea is the shepherds came. These are the bad guys. In the movie, it was the Amalekites. They drove them away. Moses stood up and helped them. So Moses and Josephus was a general. Moses was used to being able to handle himself. He had just killed a man in Egypt, and here come these guys, maybe the Amalekites, and they're trying to chase 7 ladies away trying to help water their sheep. So Moses stood up, helped them, and watered their flock. So verse 18, when it came to Reuel, Jethro Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock." And so he, Jethro Reuel, said, "Where is he? Why is it that you've left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." So Moses was content to live with the man. He gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses, and she bore him a son. And the son was called Gershom, for he said, "I have been a stranger in a foreign land." Now, in the Charlton Heston movie, it was more like, I picture this as it's like the really first official episode of the television show The Bachelor. And it was the first rose ceremony. Now, I'll confess, I've only watched that show one time under duress. I have no desire to watch it again. But the theory is there's a guy, the bachelor, and there's these 7 girls that are all hoping that he'll give them the rose, and then they'll be married and be happily ever after. Of the 7 daughters, Moses chose Zipporah. In the Charlton Heston movie, the other girls are trying to get Moses' attention. Zipporah says, "No, I'll just go tend the sheep." So maybe she was like older, more balanced, or beautiful. Who knows? But anyway, that was the rose ceremony. And what it's, Josephus highlights here is that Jethro gave his daughter in marriage, so that's giving, appointed Moses superintendent of all of his cattle. So I know from the Bible that there were sheep, but also cattle, and that was a big important thing back then. And the next episode that then happens is the burning bush. So to then have this come together, so to wrap up point number 1 related to Father's Day, in sharing abundantly, God the Father shares abundantly with all of us. He has given his only begotten son for all of us. He has a plan for all of us. He gives us so much that we can be thankful for. Those of us that have happy memories with fathers, and hopefully that's the majority, either fathers or father figures, can think about how many times when we were growing up did our father share abundantly with us. And it could be different things. You know, I think my father would give truly his shirt off of his back for somebody that was in need. He would definitely be sharing abundantly, but growing up, he shared milkshakes and M&Ms occasionally. More than just things, he shared interest in learning and reading. He shared a work ethic, experiences. Although at times we didn't have much, he always wanted to make a priority to spend a week fishing up at a cabin in Minnesota where his dad had taken him. So we went there every year as we were growing up. And he also enjoyed bouncing balls, catching balls. And I remember when I was a little guy, I thought Catfish Hunter had the greatest windup ever. And I know that dates me, but some of you would remember the great Catfish Hunter windup. So we only had one mitt. I went out and played pitch with my dad, and I thought I could throw a really good fastball. He caught me barehanded. Never a problem. So it wasn't quite that fast, and I never furthered that part of my world. Anyway, so that's point number 1, share abundantly. And then finally, we as fathers should then consider what we can do to share abundantly with our family. What can we share with not just things, but to inheritance with things that are even more important? Work ethic, learning, so many things that are so positive along that. So that's point number 1. Point number 2, we're going to fast forward up to Exodus chapter 18. The point I've labeled love, rejoice, and worship together. Love, rejoice, worship together. So Mr. Jethro Reuel Hobab was a pretty important guy in chapter 2. He leaves the scene because what happens? Moses goes back to Egypt. Then there's the plagues. Then there's the Red Sea. Then there's the manna. So now let's catch up chapter 2 in his life, which is Exodus chapter 18. And now it's changed his name from Reuel to Jethro, if you can catch that, at least in the New King James. And we're going to start in verse 5. It says, "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he'd said to Moses, 'I, your father-in-law Jethro,'" so that might just be, you can call me any of these different names, but you can also call me Jethro, "'I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her 2 sons with her.' So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, And there's a few key words that just jumped out to me as I was reading this. They bowed down, or he bowed down and kissed them. This is Moses to Jethro. They asked each other about their well-being. Tell me, how are you doing? What else happened in your life? And they went into his tent. So then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that they had come through on their way and how the Lord had delivered them. So just think about that story. Jethro, you wouldn't believe this. The Red Sea, it parted. The whole story would have been that, taken care of in that tent. So then what did Jethro do? He rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, which he had delivered out of the hand of Egypt, or the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Remember, he was a Midianite priest when we met him earlier. Over all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. So Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifice to offer to God. So the point number two, love, rejoice, and worship together. Josephus brings out an interesting location. Who knows if this is really the location for this or not? It was right next to where the burning bush was. So when Moses was in talking to Jethro about the Red Sea and all of these other things, they could have been looking at, or at least right next to, where the burning bush was years before. So now let's relate this point to then the Father's Day portion. It would be, does God love, rejoice, and worship together? He loves it when we rejoice and worship together and worship him, absolutely. So he loves the rejoicing. He really wants to have that special relationship with us. And there's a tremendous amount of love and care and rejoicing with that. Secondly, hopefully our fathers have created many memories of worshiping together, hopefully loving, worshiping, enjoying, rejoicing together. Churches, church events, feasts, life. And growing up, we would sometimes rejoice at the very occasional Cubs win. So years ago, that didn't happen very often, but that was also something too that we could enjoy growing up. And then to apply this to us as fathers, those of us that are, what can we do to better worship, love, and rejoice together as our own families? We know the Deuteronomy 6 principle. How can we make that better? How can we make the Sabbath more special, more enjoyable? Feast planning, make the feast incredibly special. One thing that we've instituted a few years ago after I was reading about it was when we say our family prayers over a meal is we all face together into a circle and hold hands. I think there's something bonding and together for holding hands together as a family and being together like that. So just an idea. Point number three, chapter number three, is to thoughtfully give advice. So we'll stay here in Exodus chapter 18, to thoughtfully give advice. Now the UCG commentary on this portion says, just as Moses had grown tired in holding God's staff up at the Red Sea, he was wearing himself out by single-handedly dealing with all of the problems himself. So now let's go into starting at verse 13. Many of you know this story. I'll just pull out a few key points and then we'll wrap this up. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So early in the morning through late at night, what was Moses doing? It says, so what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit? Now this is Jethro. Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And I'll pause here for just a second. Josephus brings out an interesting point. So I used to read this and I thought, well, how did that work? Was Moses there and there's like a long line of people and then Jethro comes running up and says, no, stop, Moses, you're doing it all wrong. That's not what Josephus says. Josephus says Moses waited. He observed what was happening. He waited until Moses was by himself, so maybe pulled him aside, and then gave this advice. I thought that was interesting. So the point here is to thoughtfully give advice. Know also that sometimes it's appropriate to not give advice. So thoughtfully, when appropriate, give advice, but then continue on. So Moses said to his father-in-law, so this is what I'm doing because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another and I make known the statutes of God. So then Moses' father-in-law said, that thing you do, it's not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You're not able to perform it by yourself. One of the commentaries highlighted that with Jethro being such a successful Kenite or Midianite, he was probably in a leadership position and had to manage a lot of things himself, so he knew that delegation was important, and he was trying to then tell Moses to delegate. So Jethro says, listen now to my voice, I'll give you counsel, God will be with you. So he then breaks into the story where the rulers of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and then have that be how he would delegate his authority to then allow Moses to then rule with just the most important portions. And then I'll conclude this part with verse 24. It says, so then Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. A couple of other points or items related to this. Josephus said that Moses could have taken that advice and claimed it as his own, but he didn't. So he was humble. We know that about him. So he then took the advice very kindly and acted according to a suggestion. Now, I was trying to think in my life, I only know of one example where it was literally divided or trying to do this following the guidelines of tens, fifties, and 100s, and 1000s. And that would be for anybody that ever went to the feast in Big Sandy and camped in the Piney Woods. And in the Piney Woods, they set up sections, tens, fifties, 100s. And the idea is that people were then responsible for these little areas. One thing to consider also is that it was different skill sets needed for the different tens, fifties, and 100s. A person for the tens is really focusing on relationships and really managing a much smaller group in a much more intimate way. But at a thousands, it's much more important to have the vision, the leadership, and be able to manage and help work through any disputes or issues that might arise. So it's different skill sets needed for the different responsibilities tied there. I found a website called New Frontiers Together that says the seven leadership lessons from Jethro, and this subpoint says it's good to hear hard words. So nobody likes to be told the way they're doing things isn't the best. Jethro's counsel was practical, but it was blunt. So in verse 17, it says, what you're doing is not good. That's pretty direct. No, verse number 18, you're not able to do it alone. Also pretty direct. So if we receive advice from somebody, be it a father or whomever, we also should consider what our possible responses could be. So in this case, according to this website, Moses could have been angry, could have dented his confidence to lead, could have brushed the advice off and carried on as before, but Moses received these difficult words and became even more effective. So the part here is, we don't have to take every piece of advice given, but we should discern and value to recognize good advice. So to apply this now with the Father's Day theme, God thoughtfully gives us advice when we seek it. And he's always right. He gives us the guidebook of the Bible. We can seek counsel. We can search wisdom and truth, and there's the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So God does give us advice thoughtfully, but oftentimes we're the ones that have to ask and then seek out that advice. Secondly, thanks to both my father and my Jiddu. So Jiddu is Syrian for father-in-law, kind of. It's actually Syrian for grandpa. So my wife's father is considered Jiddu. Maybe that would be a Jethro Jiddu if we would go back in time. But both of them, I'm sure, over the last 35 years plus, could have had times where they would say, I don't really agree with that, or I'm not sure, or here's some advice. So they've thoughtfully given me advice, but they've both realized, and I appreciate that, and I have to do the same ultimately for my children, that my life and my decisions, there's things that I need to try to figure out, and now the same for my children as well. So the admonition or advice for then us as fathers, thoughtfully give advice. We need to thoughtfully give advice when appropriate, certainly if it's being sought after. So in conclusion, I'd like to encourage us to apply these chapters, the three chapters from the man of mystery with seven names, Mr. Jethro, Reguel, Hobab, the Kenite that lived in Midian, Gershom's grandpa, to share abundantly, to love, rejoice, and worship together, and to thoughtfully give advice.